And this is the very first test and recording of our oral history. So first thing I'll ask you, Jerry, we'll just go over some of the names you mentioned earlier.
Sure.
What do you remember about Rex Wakefield?
I never met him, but all I remember is people talking about him, you see, when he was the supervisor of the Sayus Law National Forest.
Uh-huh.
Well-respected, knowledgeable, popular, that's really all I know about him.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, how about Bill Higginstein?
Bill, I think I have met.
Uh-huh.
Again, a highly respected senior member of the profession.
Yep.
I remember calling him when I wrote my book.
Yep.
And asking him, Bill, I'm going to title it Cork Boots and Cheese Sandwiches.
Yep.
And I'm wondering what you think I should use for a spelling of the word corked. Yep. You and I both know that it's really spelled C-A-L-K-E-D.
Yep.
But most people would misspell it with a C-A-U-L-K-E-D.
Yep.
Or C-O-R-K.
Yep.
So he said, I would use C-A-U-L-K because that's how most people do it, uh-huh. even though it's wrong
yep.
as a spelling. So that's what I did.
Uh-huh. Well, he and I were good friends. So when he died, I stopped putting a hyphen in Douglas Fir because he's picky about that. Dale Thomas. He was a neighbor there in Nettieville. My youngest kid went to wrestling camp with him.
I don't know that name at all.
Dale Thomas was one of the kids that came out and worked from Iowa. He was a wrestler, part of the wrestling group, and you got him in your book. And he became a famous wrestler, a wrestling coach at Oregon State, won lots of championships.
Hmm.
And he became an Oregonian. He became transplanted. In your book, you mentioned him as one of the here's another name, Dick Pozakani.
Dick Pozakani is a brother SAF professional.
Yeah.
I have met him at SAF meetings.
Yeah.
But I don't really know him personally at all.
He just died recently, another good friend of Wayne's. So, Dick Pozakani married a sister of one of the wrestlers that came out. The wrestlers, I think, were from Iowa or something. They worked here one summer, maybe 42 or 43.
They were called the Boys in Cornell.
Oh, that's okay. Dale Thomas was one of those guys.
That was a famous group here.
Yep.
They really worked in fire protection.
Yeah.
But they were they lived, but when they were in town, they lived up on the hill, the Coos Fire Patrol headquarters there, and were the group. I'm not sure how many there were.
Yep.
It's a fairly small number.
Yep.
Maybe 15, 20 men.
Yep.
Something like that. And everyone assumed that it was the other Cornell.
There's more than one?
There is. There's a famous one, and then there's the one they were from.
Uh-huh. So, and they were all wrestlers, or part of the wrestling team.
I didn't know that.
Okay, you've got that in there, and Dale, you mentioned that he...
I put a chapter in there, in fact, on that. The Boys from Cornell.
Yep, yep.
That's what they were called.
Yep, and Dale was one of those, and in the book you say he decided to relocate in Oregon, and that's just what he did,
okay.
Right out in the country outside of Coos Bay. T.J. Starker.
Now, I probably met him at Oregon State,
uh-huh.
although he had left the faculty
yep.
at that time. There's a story about how that happened, but I'm not going to relate that.
I know that story. So.
yeah. But he was highly respected.
Yeah.
And was appreciated for his knowledge and commitment.
Yeah.
And then went out, as we all know, to purchase high quality forest land.
Yeah.
In that county, in Benton County.
And Lincoln, too.
Might be some Lincoln, too.
Yep.
And what his beliefs were in growing and managing Douglas fir,
yep.
They all worked out. Yep. And his I'm not sure if his brothers or sons followed him in the profession.
Yep.
And it's still an Oregon forestry name that everyone respects.
It seems to me that the Starker Force, and it went to Bruce, then he died in a plane wreck, and then his oldest son just retired.
Zabon.
Bond retired at age 70 just a few months ago. So, but it seems to me between the your management of the Elliott and the Starker's management of Starker Force, those are two, one's government, one's private, but those are two of the nicest managed Douglas fir tree farms that I can think of or ever experienced.
High compliments.
It's pretty true, though. Wouldn't you agree generally with that? it's hard to find another piece of ground that's been so well managed and cared for and is in great shape today.
He was part of a club, informal club. It was referred to as the Brain Trust or whatever it was of their peers, that peer group.
Yeah.
Of senior, successful, well-respected people in the forestry profession.
Yep.
And they made a visit one time down here on the Elliott Forest.
Yep.
And they didn't hesitate to criticize.
Yep.
what they saw.
Yep.
And it's when we never forget their visit.
When I started reforestation work, I was working with TJ. So let's see.
I laugh because TJ had a number of basic rules.
Yep.
Don't ever violate these rules. Yep. One of those rules is never put anything on top of your pickup truck. and on the roof. Don't ever put anything on the roof.
Yeah. He also had a reputation for other things too, mostly for being a pretty darn tight with a dollar or a nickel. Let's see, Faye Stewart.
Faye Stewart was a man to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Here. He and his family, there was a family group there.
Yeah.
Were owners and managers of what was called Elkside Lumber Company. Uh-huh. That's just a combination. They had a little mill in Elkton.
Yeah.
And one they bought at Lakeside.
Uh-huh.
And remodeled it. Uh-huh. So it was the Elkside, the combination of those two. And they bought a fleet of trucks to navigate the tough roads on the Elliott Forest.
Yep.
Such a fleet of trucks that could handle a pretty good adverse grade. TJ, Faye was so knowledgeable that we didn't have anybody who knew all what he knew as far as the management requirement things for managing a major forest.
Yeah.
But he knew all those things from experience.
Uh-huh.
From their operations over at Rao River.
Yep.
And he had a sense of humor, but he was very quick to speak and very knowledgeable.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't help but respect the guy.
Yeah.
Whether you personally liked him or not.
Uh-huh.
He had a yacht up at Reedsport that he sat right there that he would go out in sometimes, his yacht.
Yeah.
And he introduced us to balloon logging in 1963.
Yeah.
And you couldn't help but like the guy.
Huh.
You didn't always agree with what he was saying, but you couldn't help but like him.
Uh-huh. But it was just really friendly and outgoing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Loud.
Yeah. But I heard he also offended people, that some people didn't
I'm
like
sure
him.
I'm sure he did, but if you're easily offended, you shouldn't be involved in the woods work.
Well, there you go. Then Bill Davis.
Don't know that name at all.
He was a professor at Oregon State, and you brought him in there just because he helped with some surveying or something.
Yeah. He was involved in the engineering department at Oregon State.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think I ever had him as a professor.
Uh-huh.
But I think he was in the engineering department there.
I did an oral history with him, too, after he was dead. I did it through his wife, through pre-recording. So, Ralph Saperstein.
Ralph is a neat guy. I always liked him.
Yeah.
He came to us as a trainee.
Yeah.
And we had him at Reedsport,
yeah.
in our operations there. So he was, as I say, a trainee with several others in working on timber sale preparations in the north end of the Elliott Forest.
Uh-huh.
Sense of humor, smart, Real likable.
Yep. So, we talked about Bill Higgins. Roy Cyline.
There are two men, Wheat and Cyline. They were like pioneers in the area of tree improvement program.
Yep.
The genetic tree improvement program. And so when that was first initiated, there were a number of places. But this was a co-op here, and involving International Paper and BLM and ourselves, State Forestry. I'm not sure if it was another member or not right now. That's at least those members anyway. And we were chosen to be part of that co-op in establishing progeny test areas. And we had to fence them because otherwise the elk would move in and just eat all the little seedlings that we had planted there. But that was a very interesting program. We eventually had three progeny test areas, and Cyline and Wheat were both, they were the fathers of that down here.
Yep.
Not sure if we were the only ones, but we were one of the co-ops.
That's somebody I worked with and really appreciated his work. He died snorkeling when he was 80.
No kidding. No kidding.
He led a good life, too.
Oh, never heard that.
Yeah, that's been a while, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Let's see, those are names that all came out of your book. Paul Dunn.
Paul Dunn was dean of the School of Forestry when I was there.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of personal memories of him, although when you were about to graduate, you had to be interviewed by him as a potential employee. And you had to knock on the door, introduce yourself like he'd never met you before, and say, like, you can enter the room as a potential employee. And his first question to me was, "What's the main reason I should not hire you?"
that's interesting.
He got you thinking on your feet there, a bit there. So I didn't really personally know him, but I saw him as a very respected dean of the School of Forestry.
So he's kind of isolated
kind of.
How about McCulloch?
Well, he was like his first or next in command. I think he was his successor.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
He was, I think, a little more colorful person.
Uh-huh.
People seem to have more stories about him and so on. But I didn't really ever have any class from him. I just knew he was a very important part of the faculty.
Yep. Now, you mentioned Wiley Smith, and I talked with a local person named Jason Smith. Wiley Smith had Coos Head Lumber Company.
What? He and his brother. It was Wiley and Willis Smith. They were brothers.
Uh-huh.
Willis was in charge of their mill operations, and Wiley was in charge of their woods operations.
Did they start that business themselves?
I think they renamed it. Uh-huh. I think it was called something else before.
Uh-huh.
They had a pulp mill out in Empire.
Wow.
They had a pulp mill there. And the mill there on Isthmus Slough. And I'm sure it was a successor to another firm that predated them.
But it wasn't a family business.
I didn't know of anybody else who was involved with it, so I guess it was.
Uh-huh.
Coos Head Timber Company.
Yeah.
I mainly knew their forester, Mike Groban.
Uh-huh.
That's who we dealt with mainly, but we knew that it was Wiley who was there running things.
Uh-huh.
Whatever happened is he was either doing or approving of one of the two.
Uh-huh.
He is a very likable guy. As I said, the man who worked for him, Mike Groban, his chief forester, when he became disabled, he fell in the woods. Groban fell in the woods.
Uh-huh.
An easy fall, maybe 8 feet, and we've all done that
yep.
sometime. But he lit wrong and it broke his neck.
Ooh.
So he was Pepperhorn, he's a paraplegic.
Wow.
And Wiley rebuilt the access to his office so he could get in there in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And this is a stairway. Talk about a stairway going down to his office.
Yep.
Rebuilt that and rebuilt his car so he could drive his car as a paraplegic.
Wow. Huh.
And he was very loyal to his employees.
Uh-huh. So he treated all his employees well. It wasn't that this person was...
I think so.
Wow.
I think that's how it was.
Uh-huh. Well, so Jason would be like maybe a son or grandson or nephew?
I would have to assume that, but I don't really know that.
Okay. Now, those are all names from... Oh, you had William Greeley, too, that you mentioned just...
Well, I just mentioned him, but he wrote a book.
Yep.
You know, it's a book.
Yeah.
I mentioned him because he was the counterpart to Giver Pinchot.
Yeah.
Those two guys at one time were pretty much neck and neck in who's going to have most influence
about
national forestry view. And it was touch and go because Pinchot thought the government should own the whole thing.
Yeah. Total socialism.
All forest land.
Yeah.
If only they knew what to do with it.
Yeah.
And Pinchot thought, or really was sure, that there was a role for private parties too.
Yeah.
That they, yes, there's room for both. And then a co-op, and he's the one that won.
But Greeley was a personal hero, and I think he was the role model for Bill Hegenstein. So that's how old Hegenstein was. He knew Greeley personally.
And Greeley, I don't know. He may have also been involved with that World War I logging outfit in France with the U.S. Army. My dad served with that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
My dad was a logging engineering student at Oregon State College of Forestry.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that.
Huh. Then he got enough experience in France. Yep. So when he came home, he changed majors.
Huh. So, but he'd been a forest engineering major.
He was.
So he would have had T.J. Starker as an instructor.
Probably would. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's good. We're covering almost all the Douglas fir history.
We're talking about 1920.
Yeah.
1920 to 1922, right in there.
Yeah. Well, I had a couple other, let's see, we've got a minute or two.
Yep.
I was just curious, Ken Messerly and Arnie Roblin and some of the other people that have come after your book, basically, mm-hmm. but what are your thoughts on working with people like that in regards to the Elliott? Are those...
Well, I would say Messerly would be a natural fit.
Okay.
They have family tree farm.
Uh-huh.
They probably have 400 or 500 acres, maybe more than that. Timberland they've harvested on.
Uh-huh.
When I came to work here in 1952,
yep.
they had a little sawmill on their ranch.
Oh, wow.
Cutting some of their own wood there.
Yeah.
What was the other name? Arnie Roblin.
Arnie Roblin.
I see Roblin as being, of course, he's a Democrat,
yep.
so he has a little bit of that politics in him.
Yeah.
But I see him as being an intelligent, fair-minded person
uh-huh.
who's fairly balanced in his outlook.
Uh-huh. How about Kathy McCown?
I don't know her hardly at all. She's a classmate of my daughter.
Wow.
In school.
Uh-huh.
I've heard mainly good things about her.
Yep.
But of course, she's not a Democrat.
Yep.
So she's influenced by that.
Yep.
I understand that. Uh-huh. And Coos County is a pretty balanced county politically.
Uh-huh.
It's about half and half.
Uh-huh. So, okay. Well, what we've done here is given the reporters a good test and covered most of the names that weren't directly associated with the Elliott,
okay.
but peripheral characters from your book.
All right.
And so now... I'll check these out at home, and then we'll be ready to go Tuesday.
Let's do.
Okay.